Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Action-packed three-hour program coming up. Tons of college basketball. The Bear, Chris Felica, in 30 minutes. His best bets for the opening round, Max Hoffmeyer in 90 minutes. Shot quality. I'll tell you what. I know these numbers are big. He's not going to make a case for a lot of dogs. He's laying a lot of chalk. And he'll explain why at that time. Ryan Kramer on unders in the first round, and Derek Stevens coming up a little bit later on. As you mentioned to me before the show, could you imagine playing in a Calcutta with Derek Stevens, owner, CEO of Circa Las Vegas, and the group that he runs with?
Especially if it's Michigan. That's my other thought. What are these one seeds going for in Calcutta contests?
Yeah.
I mean, that's here at Circa. Will a one seed win the tournament? Yes, minus
$3. They posted $3 now.
Yeah. Can you imagine what these one seeds are going for? And it's just, there's no cap. So the auction, we had JT the Brick on last year. So when you're the auctioneer, you just come out, you throw up a team, and if whatever, start the insanity.
Mm-hmm.
However they high it goes, it's whatever it is. So that's excellent. The champion gets 15% of the pot. Final four, 3%, elite eight, 3.5%, sweet 16, 2.5%. I know Rufus Peabody's in stuff like this every single year. They also have highest seed to lose in round one, round two, largest margin you're going to get to, biggest loss, biggest win, all that. So it's phenomenal, but that is just where you like a team, you like to gamble, or you're from that school, whatever, or you have a strong feeling about them. And like JT the Brick said, there's been times where guys wanted to take it outside and say, hey, look, it's going to get physical here. It gets involved into it.
Right. And coming up in 10 minutes, I am going to tell you about that prop Pauly just briefly mentioned. It is 22-3 under a current number that is available on the betting board since the year 2000. And it's the biggest number I have seen in all my years of tracking this stuff. 22-3 under the number that's on the board right now. By the way, if you were in a Calcutta outside of the ones, who would you focus on right now? How far would you want to go down the board? To me, it would be like a team based on the region and the draw. I'd look at maybe Iowa State, Houston.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I it would be Arkansas if they were in a different region, but that's a gauntlet for them.
Maybe it depends.
Would you look at St. John's or Michigan State?
Kind of like an auction in fantasy football. Maybe you wait till the end and saw good teams available and everyone's, shot their load.
Mm-hmm.
What could happen? So that's an interesting conundrum, too. I'm not high on Houston. I'd rather have St. John's, but it also comes down to price, though.
Yeah, right. We do have the madness beginning tonight, the play-in games, where we have Maryland-Baltimore County taking on Howard and Texas taking on NC State. These numbers have been going back and forth pretty much since the Selection Sunday process came out this past weekend. And UMBC enters this game, Pauly, on a 12-game winning streak. They are a smaller team. 6-7 is pretty much as big as they go. Top 75 in effective field goal percentage on offense and defense. In the America East tournament, they shot the ball really well from deep, 32 of 74. And your school, Howard, 23-10. At Torvik, number 206 overall, KenPom 208th, highest since 2013 for this program. They are a top 30 team in the country. Effective field goal percentage allowed and three-point percentage allowed on top of that.
I like UMBC. And as I said yesterday, this is a good conference. And in the years past, Vermont, now they've won games, and we know what UMBC did years ago, but they're usually like a 12-13 seed. And I'm shocked again they're a 16, and I watched them destroy Vermont Saturday. Again, they were small on the money line at home. They ran them out, and their best player, King, who averages 14 a game, didn't hit a shot. He was 0 of 8. So they're methodical. They take care of the ball. I think that's going to frustrate Howard. They're used to forcing a lot of turnovers, getting easy buckets. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. They've played games with this the last couple days, and the favorites flipped at some spots. But I think UMBC wins, and I think they're athletic. And it's a good league and a better league, and I think they're tested. And I love what they did Saturday, even though their star player couldn't make a shot, and they ran out Vermont. So I like UMBC tonight.
Definitely shop around for the best number. Multiple national books right now. They have 1.5 on UMBC, Caesars, and here at Circa, they have Howard favored by a point in this game. I played UMBC in the first half in this game. And there is a recent trend the last handful of years that ties into that play and a play that I have in the Texas NC State game. It's pretty good info from one of my buddies who tracks basketballs that are used, and I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to share too much of the
there we go,
the recipe here baked in, but UMBC is the play tonight in the first half based on that.
At that. Each team to score 65 points is $1.40 at Caesars and Will Hill. They got all these up. So if you think we're getting high scoring games, each team to score 30 points in each half plus 145. And the list goes on about all the stuff that they have in, you know, the first to 10 and all that, that people love with the instant gratification. So that's excellent. Maybe this is more low scoring. And then we have fireworks in the second game. You know, I know the committee said they wish they didn't do this, so that's just how it fell. But these teams met November 26th, and NC State won 102-97. This is a bad Texas defense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's several games like this where the totals are sky high. Both teams come limping in, though. NC State lost 5 of their last 6. So did Texas. This one's tough.
I now see NC State favored almost everywhere. Here at Circa, they're minus 1.5. That seems to be a common number across the screen. A bunch of ones out there as well. And the total now is sitting at 158. This was a system play, or an angle play, I should say, by our producer Luke when Texas was favored, because Torvik, Haslam, and Greg Peterson all have NC State favored. G-Unit has the Wolfpack by 4. In this game. However, they do have the lowest turnover rate in the ACC, third highest defensive turnover rate on offense and defense. So they're good on offense, they're bad on defense. 41% from deep on neutral courts. That is very impressive. However, they finished 15th in three-point percent defense, 11th in two-point percent defense, and 14th overall in effective field goal percent defense when ACC play. They're also the worst defensive rebounding team in the league. The Longhorns, as you said, limping in. Losers of 5 out of 6. Top 25 adjusted offensive team. Good on the glass. The bad, they can't force turnovers. Poor three-point defense. 1 of 4. 1 and 4 overall with their record in quad 2 games. Good write-ups on both these games and all the games at vsin.com.
Will Wade's a good coach, too.
He is.
9 tournament trips in the last 10 years with 4 different teams. That's impressive.
That's tough to do.
Won a game with McNeese last year. But Texas was in this situation in the play-in last year and lost to Xavier. It didn't play well. But we know NC State, what happened, the magical run a couple years ago, is 11 seed as well. And certainly the winner of this game has a case to win the next game. Is taking on BYU. You have to like your path to make a deep run here, whoever the winner is going to be. But hopefully it's high-scoring and entertaining. But I will back NC State in this one, but a stronger play is I like UMBC in the first game. And everyone's got to do their homework and find True TV now this time.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, how have these play-in games gone with the totals? Well, the last 14, 10 of them have gone over. They were 4-0 last year to the over as well. That might look like a very high total in the Texas-NC State game. And in fact, you can see 157.5 right now at some spots. As you said, the first time they played, flew over this number. And good offenses here and poor defenses. So that would result in a pretty good chance here for us to get a bunch of points in an entertaining game.
Mm-hmm.
This is from our buddy Kevin Rogers on the NIT, by the way. Don't sleep on this. Since the start of 2023, NIT games are 60% to the over. And he looked at regular season champs or co-champs does not have to be the number one seed in conference tournament, playing on the road in their opening round of the NIT, 4-11 ATS is a dog of 8 points or less. 2025, it was 1-3. Chattanooga was the only winner. They ended up winning the entire thing. 2024, it was 1-4. 2023, 2-4. Teams to fade tonight, Liberty, Wilmington, and Stephen F. Austin. Liberty's catching around
3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 now against George Mason.
3 o'clock Pacific, too, tip time.
Yep.
Liberty really stunk down the stretch.
Yale is 4.5 against Wilmington, and Tulsa is a big favorite.
7.5.
Yeah, 7.5 against Stephen F. Austin. This show is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with King of March. Use the code VSIN MM.
Anti-fun, baby. Mr. Poison, I found him.
You found buzzer beaters?
Buzzer beater at Caesars and Will Hill for the entire tournament. No minus 140. Total games to go to overtime, 3.5. Under minus 130.
So the over is what, plus 110?
Yeah. Four overtime games? Look at these point spreads.
I know.
Are we going to have an overtime game in the first 4 days?
Well,
First 2 days, I say no. These are astronomical point spreads, record setting.
Here's the thing. If the good teams advance, though, that's going to result in some super close matchups on paper in the second round and beyond. We got an email. Always check. Doesn't matter what you're using.
Damn right.
A guy who uses a local, his book was offering 3+ overtimes entire tournament 10-1. Now, at that number, that's an autoplay.
Yeah.
And then you can come back at Caesars and bet no under 3.5 minus 140.
That's like what we kicked around with largest seed to make the Final Four. That 6.5 that was out there.
Oh, that got wiped out during our show.
Yeah, well, then down the streets got 4.5 and right. Yeah. Some places have 8.5. Some places have 9.5 with that too. No doubt. We're brought to you by ProfitX. Forget the bracket. ProfitX taking March Madness to a whole new level with King of March. Win 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 tournament games. Hit your volume goal and you've entered to win a free trip of your choice. Hit 1,000 in volume and you're in for the 5K trip. 10,000, you're in for the 10K trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, it's covered. Download ProfitX, create your account, code VSINMM. VSINMM. Win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot only on ProfitX.
I found a prop that is 22-3 under this number going back to the year 2000. Talk about a fun sweat all day on Thursday and Friday. I'll explain coming up next.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Driving in today, I saw nothing but green on the streets here. Fremont Street in downtown, and then walking through Circa, it must have been like 95% of people making a point to wear their Eagle shirts or whomever they have on today. And people, they are not afraid to get down and dirty here in Vegas on St. Paddy's Day.
Early.
Justin, who produces Money Moves, is walking through with his leprechaun outfit on. And the people that he walked by were offering Irish car bombs at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Too aggressive.
Oh, mama mia.
Pace yourself, lad.
Yeah, unless they're still on a bender from last night.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I will get to one of my favorite props on the board for March Madness that I have a bet on and is still available as we speak in a couple of minutes. I will run down this one for you. And I wish more books would post this. And it's something that we talk about every single year at this time. An offshore book, maybe multiple offshore books, offer the lowest point total by a team in the round of 64. So the play-in games don't count. Typically, this number would be around 47.5. And when you look at that number, you would say, well, come on. There's no way a team's going to score fewer than 47 points in this game. That would be incorrect. Because if the number every year was 47.5 going back to 2010, it would be 13-2 to the under. Now, this is why numbers matter big time, and books make adjustments as a result. Last year, the number was 45.5. And when you go back and look, since 2010, the under would be 11-4. This year, they have posted the number 44.5 points. Will any team score fewer than 44.5 points in the round of 64? That number would only be 9-6 to the under. So a big difference there. But again, something I have tracked going back for a long, long time. Last year in round one, SIU Edwardsville took the cake. They got it out of the way right away, I believe, against Houston. They scored 40 points. That was it. In recent years, Paulie, it's astonishing when you go back and look. In 2014, American scored 35, Cal Poly scored 37, Wofford scored 40. In the same tournament in 2013, Montana scored 34. Akron 42, New Mexico State 44, Wisconsin 46, Northwestern 47. And some of those Wisconsin teams, here's your yearly reminder, they were on this list multiple times. They scored 47 in 2016. So they hit the list several times here. But it happens almost every single year where a team puts up a total dud and that's it. It's a winner. But I can't bet under 44.5 because the books have adjusted too much.
Wow.
This is the bet that I have made. And that is the largest margin of victory, again, in the first round. Play-in games don't count. So this is Thursday and Friday only. Typically, this number has been as low as 35.5, but it's usually in the 37, 38, 39.5 range. They did bump it up to 40.5 back in 2010. Those numbers, if you go with the number 39.5 since 2000, it's actually 13 unders and 12 overs. And again, this is where numbers are really going to matter. This year, and currently available, and I have a bet in pocket right now, the Westgate in Las Vegas, their prop menu is outstanding. The current number they have is 45.5. Well, if you go back to the year 2000, 25 years, here's how many times it came in. In 2002, Duke beat Winthrop 84-37. In 2009, UConn beat Chattanooga 103-47. And in 2013, 5th-seeded VCU beat 12th-seeded Akron by 46 points. End of list. That prop is 22-3 under since the year 2000. The current number available at 45.5.
Yep.
Autoplay when I saw, I had to do it.
It's like what Richie said with us last week. There's no incentive for the one seed to run it up. Move on to the next matchup. Plus, it's the biggest game ever for the 16 seed. And you're going to get their best effort. And, you're going to pull the starters early, too, if you're the one seed.
Right.
So you have that angle as well. But now, that is astonishing.
I am a little bit of afraid here that, again, the very top of college basketball, the separation between those teams and the very bottom is maybe as big as last year. And, look at the point spreads again. Highest that we've seen with some of these numbers since 1986. And why did the Westgate get so aggressive by posting 45.5? BetOnline has 40.5.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
If you have access to both, you have a, but the 45.5 was too tantalizing for me to pass up. Had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, Duke did win last year by 44 points in round one. So that's very scary. But I'll take my chances, and if it's a loser, then so be it.
Yeah. That's good. Phenomenal.
Well, yeah.
Other stuff too. I think with these, with some of these markets, you can put up some fun props. And how many times will they go to the monitor?
Oh God!
Will Iron Eagle say triple spillage, like you had the incident right off the bat a couple of years ago where the player ran into the gal sitting front row and she lost the popcorn, the drink, and the seat. Everything with everything went crazy. You know, tonight. There's stuff. Will they mention airballs or airballed? It's only 59%.
Mm.
And this really pertains to Miami of Ohio tomorrow. Schedule is 57%. They will absolutely mention Miami, Ohio schedule.
They have
schedule,
to.
Record, whatever, all of it. You can cross all of it off the list tomorrow with Miami of Ohio. Transfer is 90%.
Transfer.
UD Arena's 90%. Records 59%. Schedule's 57%. I can't imagine what this is going to be tomorrow with Miami of Ohio.
How do you go through an entire game with Miami of Ohio playing and not mention the schedule at this point of the season?
And you think alley-oop is only 28% too.
Which game? The Miami game?
This is the Howard game.
The Howard game.
Walk-on 19%.
Ooh, walk-on. Can we get walk-on with the other games as well?
Yeah.
And you got to look and go see how many walk-ons actually qualify for the, yeah.
Yeah.
They're very popular, dementia markets. We talked about that during the Super Bowl and how big they were. And obviously that was the liquidity for when President Trump did the State of the Union address not that long ago. I mean, they're...
I think you would have an eclectic mix when it's Ian Eagle on the call.
Sure you could.
Because he's working with Bill Raftery, too.
Well, do they...
He can say anything.
Do they have man-to-man listed? Because that's immediately what Raftery's... That you can cross that one off 2 seconds into the game.
And you can find the schedule of the list all the announcers are doing. That's out.
Do they have onions?
Right.
You have to bet if onions is available with Raftery, it's an autoplay. I don't care if it's 90%. He's going to say onions at some point.
Laundry?
Is that an Ian Eagle special?
Lingerie on the deck.
Yeah, okay.
Something, yeah. All that, good. So depending on who's doing what games, that's awesome. But some of this stuff, it just seems too easy and basic about airball, and especially when you're talking about Miami, Ohio, with scheduling-related stuff, too, and what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm getting asked right now on Twitter what the odds were under 45.5. -110. -110. So...
Good.
I'm glad you brought that up. With the highest seed to make the Final Four, Hard Rock yesterday had 6.5 under -180. Well, that moved during our show. We brought it up over and over. Didn't say the book, but people found it, and they moved it to like 5.5. This will tell you the difference. The Westgate posted 4.5, and the first time that I saw it, the under was -150. So, again, even if that loss at Hard Rock, you had to, and I don't know how much they're willing to take on it, probably like $50, who knows. In a dream world, that's like, okay, empty the account on 6.5 under -180. And if you get a 7 seed this year, so be it. You walk away and actually you walk away with a smile on your face because you got a great number. But 4.5 -160 now is the number over there. So they moved to 10 cents.
Number of upsets in the round of 64, 7+, 52%, 8+, 32%.
That's just based on the seed.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to get that? Now, again, you need the 9s and the 10s to really qualify or to help you out there.
Right, right. Highest seed to qualify for the round of 32. 12 seed, 26%. 13 seed, 25%. And 14 seed or higher to win a game in the round of 64, 29%. You know, the other thing, too, about shopping around, will a 16 win a game? It's 22-1 at Caesars, and now you send one book over, it's 11-1. The difference there.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I know. Well, what do you see for the highest seed to advance to the round of 32, like an 11, 10 or 11, just in case all the 12s and 13s lose?
They have biggest upset.
Okay.
9+, 55%, 11+, 30%. That's what they have. I don't see the other one, but that's as good as you're going to get. Highest seed to qualify for the round of 16, 11. 29%, yeah. 12, 16, that's all they got.
Up next, Chris the Bear Felica joins the program. He has phenomenal numbers on the tournament as well. We'll get some of his best bets for the opening round coming up here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Big fan of our next guest. Does a great job during the college basketball, the entire year. It's Chris Felica, the Bear, Bear Bets podcast with Fox Sports on X. Must follow at Chris Felica on the Progressive Guest Line. Good to talk to you, Bear. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Looks like we're down to drama in one Champions League tie only here. Is Man City's down a man, PSG up big, and now we're looking at Arsenal and Leverkusen all even here. So we got a little Champions League going here as we crunch some brackets.
What are you sweating?
Oh, I'm not. I took a little flyer on Leverkusen to advance plus 500 today, just because Arsenal hasn't been really impressive and not really a very attacking side, and they're gonna play the type of game that invites Leverkusen to be in it for a very, very long time. So we'll see. But plus 500 pre-flop here, and probably still about the same, being that we're 0-0, 29th minute.
We shared some of good luck of your Bear Bites yesterday on the show. Phenomenal nuggets regarding the tournament. Was there a number or two or three that really stood out? You're like, oh my God, that's pretty amazing. And I got to dive into that a little bit more.
I think the historical trend in comparison about the gap between the 2, 3, 4, 5, and the 15, 14, 13, 12 really struck out to me because I just had to go back and look, is this right? Is this real? And that's one of the reasons why I think so many people are high on the high seeds this year. We think we may get a bunch of one seeds again, and maybe we will. We'll see. But last year was an anomaly. Like, only twice in the last 15 years have all the one seeds even made the Elite Eight. So what we saw last year doesn't necessarily happen. And there were some really cheap prices out there on over 1.5 one seeds to make the Final Four and like combined seeds at the Final Four, 9.5. Like, it was almost inviting a bet. It was so low. Like I think it's like -170 now on the over 1.5. And you could make a case that we could only wind up with one. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to see if some of these historical numbers stand up or if they get burned again this year.
Yep, it's a new era, no doubt, with these huge point spreads and the differences between the haves and have-nots. You've been in a Calcutta before. What advice would you give for a Calcutta contest? Who you taking a nibble on?
Yeah, I think Illinois is like a lock to get to the Sweet 16. And I know they're -$4 to make the Sweet 16, but they could be like an anchor leg for you if you want to tie them into something else. I think UCLA is a team that I would love to target. UConn has not been great. If Bilodeau and Dent were healthy, they very easily could have won that Big Ten championship. So I think UCLA is super live there as a 7 seed. I would not be surprised if Kentucky is a team that maybe goes a little bit cheaper in one of those Calcuttas and might be a team to target. They're better than Santa Clara. And then Iowa State on the bottom side, I mean, it's a team with flaws. So look to target maybe some of these 7 seeds as well. Miami, I think, should beat Missouri. Could they beat Purdue? Sure. The winner tonight between Mitch and I were, and you and I were just talking about this in break. I think the winner tonight between Texas and NC State has a great chance to get to the Sweet 16. You'll look at who they potentially will play in the second round, a BYU team that doesn't play a lick of defense, no Saunders. Gonzaga is not going to have Huff, and kudos to Mark Few for being honest and on the up and up there and say, yeah, no, he's not playing this week. And so I don't know if your Calcutta specifically, you have to name the team or if you can buy it as play-in winner, but that might be a spot to kind of take a look at a team. Tennessee is a team I think that I'm a little bit higher on than some people. I think defensively they could be okay. Again, I know I got a great note about Rick Barnes and being a 5 seed or lower and how he hasn't made it out of the first weekend more than once. But I think Tennessee, obviously you get SMU or Miami of Ohio in the second round. And then you look at the 3 seed there in Virginia. They're not going to get embarrassed athletically or matchup-wise against Virginia. So I think the Vols could be a little bit of a dark horse to make the 16 as well.
So you mentioned UCLA there. Does that mean that you like them laying the points against UCF coming up?
I do. I do. I think there's a lot of talk about, look at Mick Cronin's got to go east now with UCLA. Yeah. But they have been a low seed a couple of times under Cronin. They've done very well. They were a 7 seed once, an 11 seed once, and they won their first round games by 25 and 11. I think they're pretty good. I would be surprised if they did lose to UCLA. I know UCF got a couple of scalps this year in the Big 12, but I think this UCLA team is a little bit undervalued just because of the antics with Cronin and what he did there in the one game against Michigan State, and then the body clock and going easy. Yeah. I think UCLA is pretty good.
You talk to a lot of people. You got the podcast, all your connections, people you correspond with. Are there teams that you feel are too popular, especially underdogs?
Oh, I mean, have you heard one person like not pick Akron in terms of an upset yet, just because of the injury to Toppin and Christian Anderson getting kind of nicked up? Like, this is an Akron team that a program that's never won a tournament game. That really doesn't affect this year's team, but like the last couple of years, they've been in the tournament and they've gotten blown out by 28 and 17 points. Yes. I think the world of McCaslin. This was a team that very easily could have won the national title last year. A bunch of guys back, but they're a little bit more perimeter oriented now since Toppin has been out. But I would be surprised if they lost to Akron. I think High Point is another team that I just don't see it with High Point, especially against Wisconsin and their ability with those guards to kind of control the game. And then the other one on the other side is McNeese State. I really like Vandy in that game. I think Vandy's guards are terrific. I don't see McNeese State pulling an upset there at all. But it seems like a lot of people are on the same underdogs. McNeese State, High Point, Akron, South Florida is another very popular one, and that's a game I want absolutely no part of.
Okay, and I feel terrible for what happened to Yale, but they did it to themselves. Are you a foul up three guy?
Every time.
Yes.
Every single time. You have to do it. You're sacrificing the win. And I'm glad you brought up Yale because they play tonight in the NIT, and that game got bet down to, I think, 4.5 now. Like, is Yale going to be able to get up off the mat in that game? Like, I don't know. So it took some money. The one game in the NIT that I did like tonight that I played it once it got down to 6.5, I bet Oklahoma State -6.5 against Davidson. Davidson, this is not particularly a great Davidson team by their standards. And Oklahoma State wasn't exactly a team that was on the bubble. Like, they never had their NCAA tournament hopes up. So I think this number, a newish coach, kind of a team that can kind of build around, maybe end the year on a high note. So I think down at 6.5 now with Oklahoma State, I would play that.
Yeah, and I'll take a peek at the NIT. Right. Chris the Bear Fleek, our guest here on the Progressive Guest Line. I know Paulie is fading St. Louis. I think he has been down the stretch as well. Are you doing that against Georgia?
I like Georgia in that game. St. Louis, I don't know. I know they love to get in a bunch of high-scoring games, but I think athletically, this Georgia team with what they faced in the SEC has really gotten them ready for the tournament in this type of game. If you watch St. Louis recently, they kind of peaked a little bit early. And it's a great story with Schertz and bringing over the guys to St. Louis now and Robbie Avalos. But I like Georgia in this game, and it feels like St. Louis is going to be a pretty public side, but I like the other end of that game.
Overall, sum of all one seeds to make the Final Four. What do you think is that number, and then who do you like to win the whole thing?
I saw the 9.5, and that felt a little – it felt high, where, as I said, like they were inviting a bet on the under there. Like, if you get one ridiculous result, like a UCLA or a Tennessee or a St. John's, like you put yourself up in trouble. I'm in the minority, shocking. I'm a lot higher on Houston than most people. With Flemings, they got a guy who can totally take a game over. If Sharp finds his shot, they can play with anybody. I know they're not as good defensively as they were, but still, with Tugler and some of the guys that they have, they're more than formidable. And remember, they'll be in the Sweet 16, and they're going to play those two games in Houston. And they will have a massive crowd advantage, and that will make a difference. I don't necessarily love the fact that I'm picking the team that wound up losing in the national title game last year, but you can find some really good numbers still on Houston. But I think because they're not a one seed and they didn't win the Big 12 and they're kind of talked down a little bit and they lost some games, I think getting out of the Big 12 conference for the time being until maybe they beat Arizona in the national title game or something like that could be a good thing. But yeah, in my bracket, I have Houston over Arizona.
Okay, very good. Bear, I love talking to you, man. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck tonight and moving forward.
Thanks so much. Arsenal scored, so the dream is dead.
Okay.
There you
Sorry.
Go.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. Right now, March Madness can take you anywhere in the world. King of March is ProfitX tournament contest, where free trips worth up to $10,000 are up for grabs, flights and hotels, wherever you want to go covered. Keep winning in sets of 10 and keep earning entries. Download ProfitX now. Use code VSINMM and become the king of March. ProfitX, code VSINMM.
Win, lose next, and we'll tell you which kind of dog to look at if you plan on picking upsets.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Penguins surprised Colorado last night, plus 190, and blew them out. Utah, plus 135. NBA, you knew they'd have a huge performance, even though the Magic City promotion was canceled. The Hawks have won 10 in a row, and Johnson was great again. Alexander Walker with a career high. Thunder have won 8 in a row. Lakers, plus 2, went off the favorite. They win 192. Durant said, put it on me after the game. Lakers have won 8 of 9. The six-game roadie continues tomorrow in Houston. Mavs Pelicans over 232 up to 240. Spurs Clippers over 225 up to 234. Warriors Wizards over 229 up to 234. NFL news, Kirk to San Francisco. Like it. Hollywood Brown to the Eagles. Waddle to Denver.
That's a nice move.
That's a great trade.
And can I give you that you're going to do this here? The schedule?
Schedule, we're going to start on a Wednesday night.
How about that?
Yes.
That is that broke today, so that's going to be the Seahawks opening up at home on NBC, and then you're going to get the Melbourne game. That's, Niners and Rams on Thursday night? They can't do a game on Friday.
What was the reason?
I did not see the reason, to be honest. I just.
So we're going Melbourne on Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah, there you go.
Went Seattle against whoever on Wednesday. Yeah, okay. That's fine. I really like Kirk to San Francisco, too.
I think that's kind of sneaky under the radar.
I think they'll add another guy as well. So you get Evans and Kirk, and then you move on from Ayuk, Jennings, Bourne.
Kittle?
Not bad. You still got Kittle, yep. Funny, you love to throw it to McCaffrey. Good, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And there'll be more moves coming. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in. We'll put you on. This is the bullies fighting on the bed for space and room. Where you got, it's a small little area there. You got three of them. Look at this guy. Guys, there got to be a better way. Only one guy can really fit on there. And this other guy's hanging off, and then the other guy jumps on him. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish here. There's no room.
I missed the guy in the lower left because he's buried.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought we only had two, but now forget there's three.
Yeah, he doesn't have a stand a chance. Look at that. Come on. I mean, this guy said, well, there's another one. He's just going for a walk. Four bullies?
Please tell me he hops in.
Yeah, this guy's hanging off, and I don't understand what the other guy's doing where he's sitting on the guy's caboose. Come on. There, this guy gets up finally. He gave up. Incredible. And this is great. Where the owner, human, is eating Chinese food, and the dog comes up with the plate in his mouth and said, give me some. Come on. Wagging his tail. I'd like to try that. Look at that. How smart is this guy? Walks right up on the couch and says, fill up my plate. Let me have some.
Take some of those noodles. Got some shrimp on there. Come on.
Yeah.
Here's my plate. Fill me up, pal.
That's awesome. Send that to me, Luke. I'll put that up on Instagram. Lose some. Plethora. Pacers have lost 13 in a row. Wizards have lost 12 in a row. Grizzlies have lost 8 in a row. Bulls over 239 up to 244. No good.
I can't wait for the league to expand to make it 32 teams.
Yep. Bozelis did it again, too, for Chicago. He had a huge game.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Founded in 2011, the Sharp Plays just completed another dominant run, including a 2025 campaign that saw bankrolls double, 15 straight years of winning, all documented. Records and logs posted publicly, sharpplays.com. Something that separates the Sharp Plays from most of the betting industry are the logs and records posted. And when they move, books take notice. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets daily. He's hot. And the advanced AI tools and trusted insider intelligence, identifying price value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, and feared. Start winning at sharpplays.com.
I am legitimately blown away at how much information, numbers, nuggets got packed into the betting guide. That was a quick turnaround, and everything had to get in there by yesterday morning.
Yes.
And it's like 132 pages. It's fantastic. Here is one bracket tip, and Bill 80 included this today in the VSiN Daily. So when you're looking, if you are looking to play dogs to win outright and advance them in your bracket, teams that play slow tempo and strong defense are the teams that you want to maybe circle or at least consider. Northern Iowa ranks near the bottom nationally in tempo, and as it's written in the guide, which would make it difficult for St. John's to pull away. Northern Iowa is number 363 in pace. Third slowest team in the country, 24th best team on defense. Two other teams to look at. Now, they play each other in round one, but maybe beyond that. Iowa and Clemson, The Hawkeyes are 357th in tempo, 30th on defense. Clemson, 333rd in tempo, 20th on defense. And I know a lot of people are making the case that Kansas is going to blow out Cal Baptist. Well,
okay.
They are number 265 in tempo and 50th overall on defense. I think that makes a lot of sense. You probably don't want to pick a team that's going to get involved in a track meet, because the more possessions that you have, the better team and the more overall talent is going to win out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
More points per possession.
Yes.
That's how it usually goes anyway.
Yep.
And there's also this.
But I can see that's why Northern Iowa was popular, because the 364 in pace and not going to be a lot of possessions. And I could see the Johnny struggling, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. So good luck winning by 12.
Sure. Tim Brando has called college basketball games for a long, long time. He's also a very common guest, knows Matt Eumanns quite well on VSiN Primetime. He popped on their show last night, and he told Eumanns and Murray that he is not buying the one seeds this year.
They're all in trouble. I don't see any of them making it. I'm going to make a prediction right now. None of them make it.
Wow.
None of them. None of them get through their brackets. They've all got holes, gentlemen. I would say the most talented team and the most versatile team of that group is Michigan, and I don't think they're invincible either. I mean, there are no UNLVs of 90 out there, fellas. They're not. It's not unlike football. We're talking about a talent pool that's been spread around the country. And as great as those one seeds may look on paper to people that really don't keep up, they're not all that. They're not.
I can't believe that.
Well, he's in the minority from saying that. Maybe
again, they're almost $3. Will a one seed win it? I just don't understand how you're not impressed with these one seeds based on the record and then the gauntlet that they went through.
That's right.
I mean, you got 10 teams in from the SEC. You got 9 in from the Big Ten, and how Michigan was so impressive in most of these games. And you just, no one's UNLV from the 90s. And I mean, you got 4 first round draft picks on that team. And the other thing is you're not going to win every game by 20 points. That's not realistic, especially when you're playing all these ranked opponents. And what, so Michigan was due for a letdown. Florida was due to get beat. And what Arizona did to go 32-2 in that league. We talked about that stretch they had where they played 6 out of 7 were against top 20 teams.
Right. I know. So here's the thing, right? Injuries may impact how far some of these teams could go. I'm looking at you, Michigan, and also Duke. Maybe not. But also, like, you can't ignore, we have too many numbers nowadays, right? The KenPoms of the world and the Bart Torvicks. It's not an accident last year that all 4 number one seeds made the Final Four. Like, they were way up here. They were in a tier all on their own. And then there was a pretty big drop off to the 2s and the 3s and everybody below them. That's pretty much the case this year as well. Like, their offensive numbers, defensive numbers overall, the net rating on the top 4 teams, they're just better than everybody else. And they have to have a really bad performance or like an off night where nothing is falling, and or they have to catch a team where they're just not missing shots. Now, that can certainly happen. But these teams were basically, once Florida started to play their A game back in early February, and if UConn was going to drop off, these were the 4 teams that we were going to get for the one seed, and it played out that way. So, if he's right, I'll tip my cap to him, and that would make for a more entertaining madness probably, because then you're going to get some really big upsets. But I think all 4 are alive to make some serious runs here. Captain Obvious.
South Florida just went to 4.5 at DraftKings. He's coming down.
Too popular of a dog there?
Could be. I like them. I think they can win the game, but we'll see how that works sometime. Remember last year? I mean, you couldn't find anyone that liked Michigan.
It's true. Now, it was a close game. The opening number, actually, you had San Diego, you won.
Yep. They were getting blown out, and their player of the year was in foul trouble. I thought they got a bad whistle. But they came all the way back. They didn't win, but certainly they had a good showing.
I'll give you another one. Felica said, has anybody made the case for Texas Tech? Not many.
Yeah, right.
Is anybody going to make the case for Alabama against Hofstra? Especially after,
the 2 pounds.
Two pounds. Yeah, one wasn't enough.
Right. Stashed everywhere. Incredible.
Was it weak? Was it weak weed? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not my game. Stop talking right now.
Yeah. That's Hofstra will be popular based on that, too. I mean, that's your second leading scorer off the team. But
I haven't heard a single human being make the case for Alabama yet.
Well, as Oates said, they've dealt with stuff like this all year, or at least guys in and out of the lineup, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm certainly one that's going to doubt Alabama, and I brought that up and made that abundantly clear on the show yesterday. But
also coming off a horrible performance, so I would think you got to get your act together now with how bad you looked against Ole Miss.
Yeah, more tournament props coming up next. What a difference from book to book, from yesterday to today. Always shop around. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.